Welcome to the free version of Sunday night's main event. Remember, this show is crowdfunded. So if you like what you hear, please subscribe to our Patreon. It's only $4 a month. That's only $1 a week. And not only do you get a commercial-free and extended version of this show each and every week, along with that, you get 4 other podcasts per week. It's all at patreon.com/SNMEradio. That's patreon.com/SNMEradio. Check it out. We appreciate your support.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
It's another week and another jam-packed edition of Sunday night's main event. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Canada's premier wrestling radio program, broadcasting on TSN Radio. My name is Jason Agnew, and tonight on the program, I'm going to be joined by 8 other voices. First up, I'll be on a solo mission to break down a rather light week in the world of wrestling news. Then for a more in-depth look, Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter will join me to chat Raw ratings, Eddie Kingston and AEW, and has Rey Mysterio finally signed the WWE contract? I will ask those questions for you tonight. Then my special guest this week will be a former Impact Knockouts champion who has just launched a new podcast and is also looking at making a return to the squared circle. Taylor Wilde will join me for a chat to find out what she's been up to for the past 8 years away from the ring and why she said goodbye in the first place. We'll also have a Who Am I edition of Turnbuckle Trivia, and then in hour 2, it's the Roundtable. All the hosts that power Sunday night's main event will be along. Dan the Mouth Lavransky, Mark Andrada, Joe Aguinaldo, and Bartender Dave to chat about the state of the pro wrestling industry and review what happened on TV this week. It is a very full edition of Sunday night's main event, so it's time to get on with it and get you updated on the week in wrestling news.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's main event.
It's a fairly light week for news, which is actually pretty refreshing. And the biggest story of this week concerns a person that isn't even a professional wrestler. Yahoo's Kevin Ioli reported on Thursday that 54-year-old Mike Tyson will return to action for the first time since 2005. He's going to be facing Roy Jones Jr. in an 8-round exhibition match set for September 12th at the Dignity Health Sports Park in Carson, California. Although the distribution plans are not in place, this will no doubt be a huge pay-per-view event and an absolute freak show. Now, the reason why it's my top story this week is because Tyson's last sports TV appearance was on AEW, and he did an angle with Chris Jericho. Well, with this announcement, it looks like the brakes have been put on that program, and it will not happen prior to Labor Day, which, as you know, is the traditional date of AEW All Out. Also in AEW news, Sammy Guevara returned to TV this week. As I'm sure you remember, Guevara was suspended indefinitely after making controversial comments about Sasha Banks on a podcast in 2016 that were brought out amongst the Speaking Out movement. Tony Khan released a statement on why his suspension was lifted, saying that Guevara completed 4 weeks of extensive sensitivity training where he delved into, quote, matters of tolerance, gender, race relations, and why people's words matter. During his suspension, he was very contrite. I asked him to use that time to try and become a better person, and I think he did. End quote. So it's good to see Sammy back on television this week, making the surprise return at the end of this past week's Dynamite. And Dynamite's numbers did very well this week. AEW is back on top of the Wednesday night ratings war. The show averaged 845,000 viewers, while NXT only did 615,000. On Friday, WWE posted a statement confirming that this year's SummerSlam will no longer be taking place in Boston, Massachusetts. That's no surprise. It was noted that SummerSlam will still stream live on the WWE Network on Sunday, August 23rd, and that the information regarding a new location for the event is forthcoming. So not yet completely confirmed as the Performance Center, still waiting on where that location is going to be. Crazy Vince McMahon probably wants to have fans in the stands for that event. Nuts. For those of you that had plans to hit up the Jericho Cruise, it's been postponed. The cruise was originally set for February 1st to 5th, 2021. It's now been moved to October 21st to 25th, still in 2021. Just giving a little more time till COVID can hopefully cool down. WWE has applied for a trademark of the NXT UK Heritage Cup, so it sounds like they're doing some sort of a tournament on that brand coming up. More COVID news, though, not in a good way. Well, it's good that she recovered. Ric Flair's wife, Wendy Barlow, has been battling COVID-19. This is the reason why Flair was not present on Raw this week, despite Big Show making mention of him in what must have been a production oversight. Now, Barlow is now said to be close to 100%, and much like Moxley and Renee Young, Flair and Barlow were isolating in different parts of their respective house. Now, the hope here is to continue, much like Young and Mox, and Flair not test positive, because considering his medical history, that would be very dangerous for the Nature Boy. If you caught Impact Wrestling Slammiversary last weekend, and it got you to watch this week's Impact TV, then you'll already know that the North lost the tag team titles to the Motor City Machine Guns. Also, Brian Myers, known to WWE fans as Kurt Hawkins, made an appearance on the show in a vignette which was so generic that you may have watched it and not even realized it was him. Jacob Fatu, the current MLW champion, has signed a 4-year contract extension. Now, this comes despite MLW not even running shows right now. Oh, and for those of you not familiar, Jacob Fatu is the son of Sam Fatu, who competed in the World Wrestling Federation as Tama, or the Tonga Kid, and was most recently known as the person with a very selective memory if you watched the Jimmy Snuka episode of Dark Side of the Ring. And finally, New Japan Pro Wrestling will return to Jingu Stadium next month for the Summer Struggle in Jingu event. The outdoor stadium located in Tokyo holds up to 37,933 people, though the number of people attending will be smaller due to social distancing. But considering COVID does not spread as well outside as it does inside in certain spaces, that'll probably mean they'll be able to put more fans in place than they are currently doing in indoor arena. So curious to see what New Japan Pro Wrestling does at Jingu Stadium next month. That is it for the news this week. As I said, a little bit shorter. When we come back, Dave Meltzer. And then along with that, we've got a little bit of turnbuckle trivia. Taylor Wilde talking about her potential return to the ring. And then a second hour that is all round table. So stick with us. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio. 10-10 man,
drag it from my car. Hello, Gordy Levesque here. No one swings and hacks like I do. And no one struts quite like I do, too. And no one brews beer like Great Lakes do. Canuck Pale Ale. My beer, your beer. Our beer. Available in over 400 LCBO and grocery store across Ontario for only $2.80. Great Lakes Brewery. Brewed for you, Ontario.
It's time!
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. Guess who's back. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday Night's Main Event.
Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event, getting a little bit more in-depth in the world of wrestling news with the editor of the Wrestling Observer newsletter, Dave Meltzer. Welcome back, Dave. How you doing?
Doing okay. How's it going?
Oh, you know, we're rolling on through, and we're about to get a huge blast of sports back in the lives, and not just have a sports entertainment on TV, Dave. And I wanted to start here because there are record low ratings for Raw happening already, and I always hear you talk about how football season affects what's happening with Raw. Well, now we're going to have all this sports competition. This could be an absolute disaster for Raw ratings.
I think it's going to get hurt a lot worse in September because that's football's still the killer. The two things that hurt Raw the most are the NBA playoffs and the NFL season. So, when we have NBA play, but the first run of games, you know, as we saw with the first baseball game the other day, is pretty big. So I think that the first week will probably hurt. I'm not even sure what goes against what, but I think the first NBA week on Monday, and I know that there's going to be games on Wednesday and everything like that, it'll hurt wrestling. But the record lows will probably come September, October, November, you know, in that period.
The ratings for Raw now are really bad. Is there a sense of panic behind the scenes, or is it just a matter of WWE going, well, number one, we have TV money, so we don't care, and it's COVID, so we can't really help it?
There's great concern. I don't want to say panic. I haven't heard anyone say panic, but it's very concerning. Vince is always like that. You know, when things get bad, you'll see changes, you know, which is usually more guys from the other brand coming over. That's what happened a couple weeks ago, and then they kind of forgot about it. And I think that it'll probably happen again this week. Now, this week they don't need to because they've got the two championship matches and somewhat of a loaded television show. So if it doesn't draw, I think it will not feel good. I mean, last week's, with Randy Orton, the Big Show, having been promoted for five straight weeks, you know, as like this big, you know, match, and then it not drawing, it was very concerning. And coming the day after a pay-per-view that was, you know, hot-shotted to, you know, draw Raw ratings the next day and didn't. So, yeah, it was... I thought, you know, last Monday's rating wasn't the all-time low. It was, I think, the second lowest of all time. But to me, it was a lot worse than the week before when they did the all-time low.
And what was the story this week with AEW and their ratings? Was it a demographic that had actually eclipsed Raw and SmackDown?
Women 18 to 34 beat Raw and SmackDown, yeah. Which was the first time that in any demographic that... they've beaten both shows. There was a couple of weeks back where they beat Raw in males 18 to 34. And they're on the heels in 18 to 34 overall. AEW is right on the heels of Raw and SmackDown. It's a little bit lower, but if they didn't have the competition of NXT, they would be well above both. So, it's something to watch how the sort of the progression of younger viewers has changed. And it's not so much, I mean, AEW had a really good week and they did gain, but it was the same the week before. But what happened more was Raw and SmackDown are doing a lot worse with that age group, and so it's more AEW's catching up by incrementally going up and the other group going down quick. So that's kind of where we're at. It's not the same with 35 to 49, but in 18 to 34, that is a pattern that's been holding up. Yeah.
AEW also seems to be keeping it fresh, and one of the ways that they're doing that is by using Cody's Open Challenge. And this week we saw Eddie Kingston in AEW. Great promo, great match. Big question is he kicking around like Ricky Starks did?
I haven't heard anything officially, but it's hard to imagine he wouldn't be. You know, maybe that they're doing some sort of a storyline where they haven't announced it. Because it's hard for me watching that. I mean, I don't want to say he stole the show because it was a really great show and there was a lot of other things that were great on the show, but he did a tremendous job. He was the talk of the night. So I have not heard him sign, but I would be very surprised if he's not.
So we've now seen Eddie Kingston there. I already mentioned Ricky Starks there, who looks to be involved in an angle with Taz, and he seems to be staying. It is signed to a contract. Is everyone from NWA on the market?
I don't think Nick Aldis is.
That's the one I was going to ask about.
Yeah, I don't think Nick Aldis is. I don't think Camille is. I think that there's a group. I don't know about Storm, but I had thought it was only Nick Aldis, and there's actually, I think, a few more. But, you know, again, we don't know what the future is of NWA. I mean, you know, the David Lagana, you know, resigning from NWA was really gigantic. I don't think people understand the enormity of that because he was the backbone of the work of that organization, and now they have to, you know, retool to an incredible degree. I mean, to me, the NWA was Billy Corgan, Dave Lagana, and Nick Aldis, mm-hmm. and the rest of those guys. You know, they were like the key guys, and the ones that would be devastating if Billy was gone, you know, decided it would be done. But Lagana is just a huge loss to that company, and so you know, I mean, that's I wonder like what they're going to do next. So they haven't done anything since he left, and they're going to have to find a guy, you know, who can fill all those shoes, and that's not going to be easy.
Do you think it might just be a matter of him resigning, laying low, and then finding his way back?
Going to be difficult in this situation. I mean, I guess it's possible, but I don't sense that. I don't know how you come back right now.
Right.
I guess, you know, I mean, we've seen people come back in this business, but if you're going to say like in 5 years, yeah. But if you're saying this year, I don't think so.
Gotcha. The question that I ask you each week, Dave, Rey Mysterio, contract, what's the status?
Nothing new. Nothing new. I'm not expecting him to leave, but, you know, I've not heard that he signed, and I probably would hear if he had. So, still without a contract, still, you know, him and, you know, they're on good terms and everything like that. But, you know, I think that if it wasn't for Dominic, I think that the decision might be very different. But Dominic is still, like we've talked about before, it's still kind of like the key to him right now, I think his number one priority, besides the money and all that, is to get Dominic going in a good way. And Dominic is already in a WWE angle. I don't know where it's going, but he's in it. So, that's where WWE has the advantage, I think, in the negotiations.
So last week, you know, we chatted immediately following Horror Show at Extreme Rules and Apollo Crews missing that. We do have a COVID confirmation with Apollo Crews now.
Yes, we do.
Have we seen people who, whether they revealed it or not, having COVID, return to WWE TV, aside from announcers, but actual performers? Because this week we're supposed to see...
I'm pretty darn sure we've seen several in the last week, yes. Yes. I mean, I don't know, other than Apollo Crews, I don't know, I mean, I've certainly heard names, and those names are back on... Some of those names are back on the show. There are some that are not. But it's been, you know, it's been like since the big outbreak was actually several weeks ago. So they should be coming back unless they, you know, were stricken bad. And I haven't heard of, the one thing I'll say is of the wrestlers, I haven't heard of anyone in this country. I mean, in Mexico, this would not be the case. But in this country, I haven't heard of anyone who got really, really sick. I mean, Renee Young, I know she got pretty sick, she was on the pregame show, although I don't think she's flown in back yet. And I don't know that she'll be flying in for a while.
Right, yeah, just keeping people distant. I mean, she really doesn't need to be there to do what she is currently cast in if she's not going to go back to being a backstage announcer. And they have enough of them. They have Charlie there, they have Kayla there, so they don't need Renee to double up on that. She's kind of actually lost in her role right now because the Tuesday night show is gone.
Right, yeah. So she'll be doing like pregame shows for the pay-per-views. But aside from that, I mean, I would expect at some point she's back doing interview stuff on SmackDown. Because she was, you know, when Fox got SmackDown, she was actually considered one of the key people on the show. And she hasn't been on the show, obviously, in a month plus.
What's the story with Kofi Kingston saying that he has to go off and Big E getting a singles push?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just a way to get Big E a singles push. Maybe it's... an injury, you know, it's an injury, a legit injury. It sounded like it was probably an injury, you know, because we said out 6 weeks. Obviously the circumstances with the, you know, was probably not what happened, but he might have something minor that he's got to take care of that, you know, and they did the power bomb through the tables to cover for it.
And do you know, obviously, you know, there seems to be this push behind Big E. I mean, that vignette made it pretty clear. Do you know where they're headed with him? Because if he is ascending up the ladder and this is going to inject him into a potential program with Bray Wyatt, that doesn't help anyone.
Well, not too many people get help with Bray.
No.
That won't be anytime soon anyway, because Bray Wyatt's going to be with Strowman for the next while. So it could be... you know, the one that it seems to me would be AJ Styles, you know, and get him in an Intercontinental title program. But, you know, which would be good for him. You know, I mean, he'd be in a position to have a really good match. And, you know, make a name as a single. I mean, I would, if I was him, I don't think there's anyone I would rather, you know, kick off a singles push with than AJ Styles, because it's a guy who you can go out there and go, hey, this guy's a great singles wrestler, because he's working with, you know, one of the best guys. I guess the best guy with Daniel Bryan not wrestling, AJ's the best guy on that roster.
Yeah. Ric Flair, his wife tested positive for COVID. What is her status, and what's going on with Ric, if anything?
Ric is healthy. She's a lot better. You know, when the story came out, she was actually not over it completely, but she had been pretty sick like 2 weeks earlier. So like about, you know, 2.5 weeks ago, she was pretty sick. And by the time that story came out, she was not 100% better, but she's better. I know that she's working out, so I know she's doing better. Yeah. And Rick's okay. I mean, but, you know, Rick didn't go to TV, which is probably a precautionary measure.
Right.
And he shouldn't be going anyway. I mean, it's really, there's no upside to it. It's a risk not worth taking.
They're really playing with fire, considering the man almost died 2 years ago.
They're really playing with fire in a lot. Look, they're playing with fire, just maybe not running, because now what they're doing as far as like the testing and everything is pretty comprehensive. But boy, they played with fire for months.
Yeah. And finally, Dave, let's wrap up on the situation that has happened with Adam Cole exploding on Pat McAfee. real or work, dare I ask?
Clearly a work, yeah. I don't know where it's going. I sure hope it's not going to... I hope they're not doing a wrestling match between the two of them. You know, they could do... There's a million ways you can do a segment, and that'd be fine, but... you know, I mean, I guess you could say, I thought they pulled it off pretty good, but it was still, to me, pretty clear, you know, the way that it was, you know, it was obviously built, you know, just the way the whole thing built that they were trying to do Jerry Lawler and Andy Kaufman and David Letterman.
Right. Yeah, it's when you continually, as Pat McAfee continually used the term, disrespected me, it was just like, yeah. Oh, okay, you have, that's wrestling terminology, and you're just playing this on out. Cool, great.
Yeah.
But I mean, I agree, like, a wrestling match, who does that help? Adam Cole was doing great on NXT. You know, they have him kind of disappear after the Keith Lee thing, and this is a very bizarre turn for his character and his storyline.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, they can do something where Pat McAfee's in somebody's corner and distracts him and causes him to lose, and you know, they can pay it off that way. With you know, just getting a babyface wrestler with Pat McAfee, and the idea that maybe it'll get the babyface wrestler a little bit of a run, somebody on the ascent, hopefully not Dexter Lumis, you know. But you know, I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can do it, but and they could just not play it off at all. I mean, knowing them, I mean, it's not like they've shot angles that never go anywhere before.
True. Yeah, that is true. I mean, the hacker was never resolved, and they just let it go.
That never even existed.
Nope, no, it didn't. All right, Dave, that's fantastic for this week. A little bit lighter as far as the week of news goes. Oh, what's coming up in the Observer?
Good question.
Will you be touching on Regis Philbin? Just passed away yesterday. He is someone that linked to the wrestling industry. A bunch of funny clips. Seemed to be a supporter and someone who understood and enjoyed the business.
He's definitely a fan, going back to the 60s, if not the 50s. I know early 60s, you know, he would have Freddie Blassie and the Destroyer on his show. He had a talk show in San Diego all the time. So we know it goes back 60 years. He had periods where he didn't like wrestling. You know, he was not a fan of the Attitude Era. But
really?
Overall, yeah, he was a lifelong wrestling fan.
Yeah, that's interesting. How do you know did he just peel away from having wrestlers on his programs during the Attitude Era?
He had wrestlers on his show, but I mean, it was asked once, Kathy Lee, I think, asked him, you know, it's like, can we have any wrestlers on? He goes, it got too vulgar. It's not as much fun. So he said that once. But then later, you know, he had John Cena on and things like that when things turned around. Didn't, you know, again, not as much in the later years, but in the 80s and 90s, you know, all the time. And you know, the wrestlers couldn't get on shows of that caliber without him, because, you know, wrestlers were, you know, it's not like today where John Cena can do any show in the world. Back then, even if you were Hulk Hogan, most people would like, you know, it's cartoon. You know what I mean? He was a wrestler, and you had that, you know, the negative mainstream, you know, you don't want a wrestler on your show, which has broken down, which is funny because wrestling's not nearly as popular, but now you could have a wrestler on pretty much any show and nobody would bat an eye, you know, like when wrestlers are on talk shows, on big talk shows now, no, you know, it's not even a big deal. Whereas back in the 80s and 90s, it was a real big deal. Like if, you know, Letterman or somebody had a wrestler on, or Regis had a wrestler on.
Yeah, it was kind of left for Arsenio Hall did a lot of it back in the 80s. And then Regis, yes. you know, Regis, there's a clip out there where Hogan, I guess, was promoting, was it Thunder in Paradise? And Regis was like clearly knew that he was going to WCW. And Hogan was on Regis and Kathy Lee to tease that he was making his return and was going to be shaking up the wrestling world or something like that. So he's a big part of the movement.
I mean, there were exceptions, but Regis was pretty loyal to WWE on the national basis. You know, you really didn't get, you know, Ric Flair and the Road Warriors when they were in WCW were never on Regis. It was always the WWF guys. And, you know, I mean, they had a good relationship, obviously. They kept me off. So. I don't know exactly what happened. But, because I was invited on the show on more than one occasion, and then it was always like, well, things happened politically, so I never really asked, and it wasn't really that big of a deal. Although I guess in hindsight, it probably should have been because it was such a big show.
So you were invited on Regis and Kathy Lee?
Twice, yeah, by the producer, and just said Regis is a big fan, reads your stuff, and wants you on. And I go, yeah, great. And then it's like, well, things happened, and it's not going to happen. So I figured somebody pulled strings, because I had, I mean, I still do, but I had. Certainly had a lot of enemies in those days.
Well, when you do what but you
Regis
do, yep.
Evidently, Regis wasn't one of them.
Huh, that's really interesting, Dave. Nice little fact to throw it at the end here. Cool little nugget in the piece. Well, listen, look forward to The Observer this week and look forward to chatting with you next week at this same time. Have a great week.
Okay, have a great week.
Dave Meltzer, WrestlingObserver.com is, of course, where you can find all of his work along with his crew, Brian Alvarez, Mike Sempervivi, Garrett Gonzalez, all of them there doing their thing. It is a good sight. What an interesting little bit to throw out at the end. Meltzer invited onto Regis and Kathy Lee and blocked somehow, some way, mysteriously. Hey, going to take a break. When we come back, a lady that will be returning to the Squared Circle. We'll find out more about where and when, if she knows the details. We shall see. It's tough to get across a border to wrestle at the moment. And she is living in Toronto, in Canada, where she grew up. So we'll talk to Taylor Wilde about her potential return next. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Bring me back in shackles.
If you like Dave Meltzer interview segments, you'll love WrestlingObserver.com. WrestlingObserver.com is your place for the latest pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Subscribers have access to hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter, plus daily podcasts, including a library of over 9,000 shows dating back to 2005. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
I'm Dan the Mouth Lebranski.
And I'm Joe Aguinaldo.
And we are the old f**ks, two burnout wrestling fans that have been watching it since the 70s.
But now, All Elite Wrestling is here to make everything old new again.
So what better idea for a podcast to have it covered by two old crusty farts?
It's called All Elite Weekly, and you can listen to it by becoming a patron of Sunday Night's Main Event at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And you can bet we'll cover the good, the bad, and the ugly, because we're the old f**ks, tough guy.
No give up at all for Taylor Wilde, in spite of that implant buster.
Oh, the crowd getting so into this, and I can understand. And again, Kong just knows that she can hit that awesome bomb. It's over.
Oh, there's what she does. That backhand.
Spinning missed it. One, two, what?
Ladies and gentlemen, you're winning $25,000 and the new TNA Women's Knockout Champion, Taylor.
Freaking way! You've got to be kidding me!
I'm a real wild one. Wild one. Wild one. Wild one.
Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event. Happy to be joined by my next guest here, who wrestled her final match in 2011, but could very well be making a return. She is a former Impact Knockouts champion and the host of a new podcast entitled Wild On. There's an E on the end of it, though, so you know it's not a Brooke Burke thing. It's Taylor Wilde. She's on Sunday night's main event. Welcome to the show, Taylor.
Hello, Jason. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for coming on. And I think, you know, what a lot of people have to be wondering with you popping back up and doing the podcast, and we will talk about that, but you go back. 2011 was your last wrestled match. We'll talk about a potential return, but why did you walk away when you were doing really, really well?
Yeah, I wish I had just like one easy answer to give you, one clean answer. But the truth is, I was 25 at that point. I had been at this professional wrestling life since I had turned 19. I had accomplished what I thought I was capable of accomplishing in that time. TNA, the Knockouts division, was changing. The spotlight wasn't on the Knockouts anymore. Management was changing. I didn't love the direction it was going in. I was pretty burnt out from all the travel, and I just felt like I needed more on my resume. Like, I needed something substantial that I could have as a career, because as a woman in professional wrestling, that career doesn't have a ton of longevity, and I was starting to panic career-wise. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I have to say, you made the shift over. You are a firefighter now, so people who don't know, you are wrestling's version of Stipe Miocic, who is a UFC fighter and still maintains being a firefighter. Was this something that you always had your eyes set on, or where did the inspiration come to jump into the deep end and become a firefighter?
Of course, I always say, like, I'm every 12-year-old boy's dream on paper. I've gone from being a pro wrestler to a firefighter. When I was 16 or 17 in careers class in high school, and they have you do those personality tests where they match you up with jobs. At the end of it, I had firefighter or personal trainer. So okay. I think the seed was planted then. And I had the opportunity when I was with TNA with WWE, to do some charity work with Make-A-Wish Foundation and in a lot of children's hospitals. And giving back was so rewarding and something I hadn't experienced that far in my life. So I started volunteering more, and then I was looking at jobs that were physical and, you know, a little bit of an adrenaline element, and fire just seemed like the right choice to me.
Now you think firefighter, and of course, one of the first things that'll come to mind to a lot of people is, oh, firefighter calendar and the big muscly guy, et cetera, et cetera. Right. So you test out going back to high school and you see firefighter. I mean, we've seen you in the ring. You are 5'2", I believe. Did you look at this? Did other people more so look at you and go, firefighter for sure, maybe your mind, but the body is different. Was there anyone to doubt you?
Oh my God, 100%. And height was a big thing. I believe in the late 70s, early 80s, a lot of fire departments actually had height requirements. That is no longer a thing anymore. I had a lot of doubt when I started my professional wrestling career. And, you know, I don't want to say it was a sexist thing, but both careers are historically male.
Yeah.
So, you know, I did the professional wrestling thing, so I didn't let the doubt shake me for firefighting, because really it was all the same. I've always had careers where I've been 1 to 20 men, and if anything, that kind of doubt fueled me. It was more like, oh yeah, you don't think I can do it? I'll show you.
Well, and you have, and you are a firefighter now. So when all of this popped up, when you started doing the podcast, and then I heard about, oh, well, maybe returning, what got back into you to think, well, first of all, let me just ask you flat out, are you returning to professional wrestling?
I sure hope so.
Okay. All right. I mean, I know there's measure with COVID, it's making things a little bit difficult. So yeah. What got you going and wanting to make the comeback?
Yeah, I've been very fortunate. So I've almost been retired for 10 years now. And I'd say every year and a half, 2 years, I'll get a phone call from a various companies who are asking me if I'm interested in returning. And up until this point, I have not been interested. I'm very happy in my life. I wanted to start a family. I've checked all those boxes. I'm in a very like content state of life right now, which I don't think I've always been. I've got a wonderful husband. I've got a beautiful son. I've got a great job. I've got a home and a cottage. Like, I am living the Canadian dream. So it's time to mix it up.
Are you just bored?
It all up. So I did get a call from Impact, and this is, I guess early March, when, you know, they were kind of starting to rebuild that knockouts division. And I thought, yeah, you know what? I'd love to get back into it. This is a great time now. And I was booked to go back at the end of March, and then COVID-19 hit and has changed the face of life as we know it. So I don't know what's going to happen. There's a lot of elements working against me right now.
Well, one of those, of course, is being that, you know, you are in Canada, and that can make things challenging considering the border is closed right now. But I also, you know, I know the phone call came from Impact, but you are a name that people know. You have been away for a while, and there are more possibilities now. Was it a certain loyalty to Impact to make that decision? Was it because they asked, or why is that the call?
I think my loyalty has always been with Impact. I did start with WWE, and I was there obviously a fraction of the time that I was when I moved over to Impact. But I've always been such a fan of the way TNA, or now Impact, does things, where it's a slower grow, but they always build their own talent into their own household names. And the knockouts have always been a priority, and they've always been characters, and they've always been able to just wrestle, and every storyline, every vignette is all based around the wrestling versus being, you know, that model era where, you know, it's backwards basically. And I have so much love and respect for the way Impact has done things. And, you know, that's where a lot of my friends are and the girls I knew on the independents. So at my age and at this point in my career, I want to do what's fun.
Yeah, no, I can. And definitely you're doing it for you. You have a successful career. You've had the wrestling career. You've got the firefighter. You've got the family. So you want to go where you want to be around the right people.
Yes.
So, yeah, I completely get that. It makes total sense. So you've also decided to dive back into this world with doing a podcast. Why jump onto my side of the mic here?
I think so much, you know, especially with the women, your career is based around your looks. You know, you get hired because you have a certain look to you. And sometimes that can completely detract from who you are as a person, because you might not even have that many opportunities on screen to speak. And if you do speak, it might just be character based. I feel like I've had so much to say for so long. I have so many stories. I have so much advice. And I wanted to just be a voice. And getting back into the wrestling world, I'm really fired up to get back in the ring, but that's not an option right now. So it's been that motivation, that kick in the pants that I've needed to tell my story. I just didn't know how I was going to do it. I didn't know what platform I could do it on. I've on and off written for years, and I've collected all these photos, and, you know, I haven't had it in me to write a book. So this is like my autobiography to some extent.
I see. All right. So you're going that way. Listen, I prefer talking over writing as well. So I see where you're coming from. We're chatting with Taylor Wilde, could be making her way back. We just don't know when, into the squared circle in Impact, but also the host of the Wild On podcast, spell Wild with an E when you're searching for it, and check it out. You've had a great assortment of guests on this show already. And these just must be, hey, phone calls to your pals to come on the show. You just happen to know a lot of very well-known people in the wrestling industry to have on.
Yeah, it's this is why I keep calling it a labor of love, because sure, it's I'm writing my history, but my history is so rich in female wrestlers who have done so much for this business. And really, I want to highlight everything that they've done, because when you're in it, you're so focused on what's next, what's next goal, what's the next hurdle, that I think these women need someone to slow them down and pat them on the back and say, hey, thank you for everything you've done for this business. And, you know, it's a good excuse to reminisce with my girlfriends about hilarious things we lived through and, you know, building towards our futures as well.
You know, it's funny. So you're chatting to other women in the wrestling industry, and one of the more serious topics that has come up in the wrestling industry is the speaking out movement that just surfaced about, I guess, a month and a bit ago. What were your thoughts when you were seeing all of these allegations and stories come out about speaking out?
Yeah, in any industry, you know, there has been some repression to some extent, male versus female, and especially in fields where, you know, is historically or predominantly male based, there's going to be some sort of imbalance, injustices. I think it's 2020. I think, you know, women have proven themselves to this point. Like, I hope that, you know, we're moving forward, that there are changes. I can't say I experienced anything that these women have been speaking of in the wrestling industry, but sure, I've seen it, I've heard it, and I don't think anyone should suffer alone. And if this is a healing process, if this is, you know, a learning curve for those up and comers, then go, girl. I support my sisters. Speak up, say what you need to say. No one should go through these things alone. But yeah, me personally, I haven't experienced any of it.
And do you think by what has happened, and, you know, 2020 being the year of change that it is, that change will come about and, you know, the speaking up movement will take root and help?
100%. And even if it is simply to the fact that it makes people go, ooh, how is this going to come back at me? Even if it's just a moment of pause where, you know, you're not changing people, but people are taking account for what they're doing, then that counts. And I think, you know, I think people are inherently good, and there are more good people than there are bad. So if it is another process for weaning out the bad apples, then yeah, I think we're moving in the right direction.
All right. Now that was the serious portion of the interview. Now we got to talk more about getting back into the ring. What do you still want to accomplish with making this comeback? What do you want? Is it another knockout title? Is it a tag title? Is it a match with a certain person? Like, what are your sights set on? What would make for a successful return for you in your mind?
Ooh, that is a good question. Well, really, I just think I don't have any regret. I think back of things I could always have done better, but I'm in a place in my life where I am mentally and physically the strongest I have been. You know, I'm stronger because I'm a firefighter. I'm mentally stronger because I grew a human in my body, and I grew food, and I've raised it, and it's alive still. And, you know, I've seen a lot of things in my job, and I've just grown as a person. And I think I just have so much to offer to wrestling in every capacity. Whereas, like, I think I was so worried about what everyone else thought my first time around. You know, I was just in my early 20s. I was trying to please everybody. It's a hard industry when you're in entertainment. And I think who I was got lost. Whereas now I'm like, this is who I am. I'm a total misfit. I'm going to do it my way. And I want to have fun. And there are so many new girls in this business. And I want to be that healthy, happy, women building, woman up person that this industry needs. And there's lots of it, but it's such a cool time right now for the Impact Knockouts. I want to be in the middle of what they're building, and I just want to contribute my little piece.
All right. Well, I was actually sad to see COVID prevented you from being in the gauntlet match. But after watching it, it may have been for the better. So I look forward to you making your return. I won't ask you anything about that to put you in an awkward situation. That was me saying it, not you. But Taylor, thank you very much for joining me tonight on the show. And I look forward to seeing you back once you can get across the border and jump back into the ring.
Oh, thank you, Jason. It was so good to speak with you. And yeah, don't forget about me. Call me anytime.
Sounds good. Look forward to Taylor Wilde making her return to Impact Wrestling very shortly, once she can get across the border and jump into the ring. We will get you news on that when I know more. You will know more, listeners. But right now, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. Two more people to join me on the program are two competitors, Ken and Braden. We'll play a little bit of Who Am I Next for Turnbuckle Trivia, and then we'll flip on over, and the roundtable is coming up for hour two. It's Sunday night's main event. You're listening to it on TSN Radio. Right now, you're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event, and you're hearing this ad. Yep, it's a commercial. And it could be your commercial. We've got sponsorship packages available to suit any budget, so I could be talking about what you're selling. For more information, email me, jason@snmeradio.com. Get the message out about your product or service to thousands of listeners via TSN Radio and around the world with our podcast. It all starts with an email to jason@snmeradio.com.
Bartender Dave here to let all of my bearded brethren know that we are bringing the High Street Beard Care products to North America. From the darkest reaches of South Africa comes the finest beard oils and grooming products known to man. The highstreetbeardoil.ca. To us, beards are not a trend. They are a way of life. We have four beard oil flavors: spicy, woody, citrus, and earthy. A revolutionary beard jelly that'll leave your beard silky smooth and ridiculously attractive. Beard fertilizers that'll help you grow the biggest and most beautiful beard you can imagine. Also beard paste, beard butter, and stash wax. All available at thehighstreetbeardoil.ca. Join us on the high street and spoil your mane.
It's time for everyone's favorite game show.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Go one-on-one and get it done. Sunday night's main event presents...
Everybody hands go up.
Turnbuckle Trivia.
And they stay there. And they say yeah. And they stay there.
It is Turnbuckle Trivia time here on Sunday night's main event. And, you know, since we use all of the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire sound effects for Who Am I, despite the fact I did it last week, we're playing Who Am I Again, and I think it might actually really mean something to these two. On the line right now, we have Braden from Toronto. Hello, Braden.
Hey, Jason. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. You are facing your opponent once again. He's also your boss. He's also someone that used to be a champion but lost his championship with this game. Ken from Toronto, how are you doing?
Oh, with that build up, I'm doing excellent.
You're doing excellent? All right. Now, you know, full disclosure, we tape these on Sunday mornings. Braden, you sound chipper. Ken, you doing okay?
Might be a little bit slower this Sunday, Jason. and my mom's 65th birthday last night.
My family did
the smart thing where we obviously just downsized the guest list for social distancing, but we didn't alter the beverage budget, if you will.
That is a great way of doing things. I love it, but I feel as though Braden has a significant advantage today. And the best part about this game is you have to shout out your answers. And that's exactly what you want to do when you have a hangover.
Yeah, just don't shout too loud today. It's Braden, please.
All right, here we go. This is a repeat matchup for these two, of course. It's the Who Am I game. That means I'm going to be giving you clues. All of the people that I'll be cluing towards are currently on the WWE roster. Let me double check that. Oh, they are WWE performers and associated with WWE, okay? I don't know if one of them counts as being on the roster, but sort of, kind of. Anyhow, I will give you clues. You can shout out your answer at any time. If you shout out your answer and interrupt me and get it right, congratulations, you win. If you shout out your answer and get it wrong, I will finish the clue and your opponent has the chance to guess. Gentlemen, are you ready for your first game?
Let's do it.
Mystery number one. Clue one. When I made my WWE debut, I was all about the club culture. I was part of what could be seen as a religious faction at one point. Marky Mark inspired my name. I've been known to try stand-up.
Dolph Ziggler.
Dolph Ziggler is the correct answer. The second half of that clue was, and to lie down with a stand-up, making reference to Amy Schumer. I'll go backwards. That was Ken that got that, correct?
No,
that was Braden. That was Braden. Oh, your voices sound alike.
We saw Dolph Ziggler do stand-up, Ken.
You got it right before me there, Bryce. Good job, bud.
So Braden has got the first point there. To go backwards in the clues, Marky Mark inspired my name. Mark Wahlberg played, of course, Dirk Diggler, which inspired Dolph Ziggler. I was part of what could be seen as a religious faction. Well, a religious faction has spirit, as did the squad that Dolph was in when I made my WWE debut. I was all about club culture. We remember him as the caddy for Kerwin White. It's 1-0, Braden. By the way, this is best 2 out of 3. You could sink it in here if you get this, Braden. But Ken, it's your time for a comeback. Mystery number 2. Some kids are the apple of their parents' eye. I'm just an apple. Weathering the storm made me the wrestler I am today. Some would say I'm a perfect 10, so I married one.
Peyton Royce.
Peyton Royce is correct. And that was also Braden.
Yep.
Like, just a lot faster this morning. Peyton Royce married Ty Dillinger, who was, of course, a perfect 10, now known as Sean Spears. Weathering the storm was getting through Lance's school, because that's who trained her. Some kids are the apple of their parents' eye. She's just an apple, because she is a Macintosh. Her name is Cassie Macintosh. And Braden, a decisive 2-0 victory on the show today. A t-shirt for you from ProWrestlingTees.com. Do you have any idea what you want to choose?
No, I usually let my girlfriend pick them out, so I'll probably let her find something.
Well, there you go. All right. And Ken.
It's just the downfall of a former champion.
It really is the downfall of a former champ. Well, listen, pal, in the next round, maybe we'll give you WrestleManias again so you can return to your former glory.
That's what I need. That's part of my 5 moves of doom. I just need to get back to my routine.
Yeah, you really do. Well, thank you very much, guys, for playing the game. Appreciate it. It was a fun one.
Thank you, Dad.
Remember, if you want to play Turnbuckle Trivia, just sign up at patreon.com/snmeradio. The new group of competitors starts in September, and I believe, tentatively, that is when some sort of version of the listener roundtables will return as well. That is my plan. Things could change, but that is my plan when things get back on track here for our Patreon. So sign up now, patreon.com/snmeradio. A break and then back with our roundtable. And I'll tell you right now, if you're listening on the radio, you get an hour's worth of roundtable. If you're a patron and you're listening now, you get an extended version of Sunday Night's Main Event this week. Woo! It's a long one. It's a good one. It's all 5 of us. And we are coming back with the Sunday Night's Main Event Roundtable right after this. It's no better to be safe than sorry.
ProWrestlingTees.com. Over 3,000 wrestling t-shirts designed and sold by pro wrestlers. Wrestlers such as Steve Austin, CM Punk, Macho Man, Mick Foley, DDP, Andre the Giant, Jake the Snake, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Scott Hall, Ted DiBiase, Colt Cabana, Joey Ryan, Cliff Compton, and the entire Bullet Club. All stores owned by pro wrestlers. Support pro wrestling today and visit ProWrestlingTees.com.
I know you guys have got your way of doing things, but just think about what I told you. There's a better way.
Hour 2 of Sunday Night's Main Event, and it is the entire crew. It has been a while since we've done this, but we are all here. First, of course, we have Dan the Mouth of Vransky, who, reeling off Slammiversary, I've made to do a show just merely 1 week later. You okay there, Mouth?
I'm okay, Jay. I've had a week to recoup. I'm good.
Yeah, and of course, you also got a barroom brawl on Friday, which I'm sure you adored, but we will get into that, as everybody has beers in hand, or at least Mouth, and the bartender has a beer as well, on vacation. And Dave, I think what people really want to know, what inspired you to join Facebook and Instagram, and on top of that, shave your beard off as well?
Well, hooray. It was all because of you, because like you bothered me. Get on Facebook, get on Instagram. And I'm like, okay, fine. And then I saw how your beard's coming in and I'm like, I will never attain that much manliness. So I just thought I'd shave it off.
That is not true. You were my inspiration. Now I don't know what to do. At least though, if you've seen pictures of this gentleman recently, he is a proud mustache wearing individual. Now, Mark Andrada, my partner from Tuesdays, is here. Mark, how's the mustache?
The mustache is good. I was shocked when I saw Dave's face. This is a complete rebranding of Bartender Dave.
Yep.
But then he opened with hooray, and I was immediately relieved to say, oh, no, it's still Bartender Dave.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
We got to keep the catchphrase. And finally, best hair on the show that no one can see has got to be Joe. Joe, fresh off a workout, you doing okay?
Yeah, I'm all good. And, you know, much like Dave said about your beard, I will never have the mustache that Mark Andrada has.
That's a true story. Wow.
His mustache game is like, you know, next level. That's like 36 level type stuff, man.
Shaolin.
All right.
1970s Ron Jeremy.
Well, we're not going to go back to the 1970s with a lot of talk today, but we are going to go back to the 1990s because we're going to start things off with WWE, and we'll start things off talking about Raw this week, which seemed to have a tease of the Nation of Domination, some sort of reboot. Listen, I was always behind getting MVP back together with Lashley and even throwing Ricochet and Cedric in, but involving Ron Simmons, I don't understand what's happening here. Mouth, do you see a place for this at all in 2020?
Well, no, I don't see a place for Ron Simmons in this if they're going to do it, because his character to the vast majority of younger fans is a joke. He's a guy that comes out and says, damn.
Yep.
People don't even really remember a lot of the Nation stuff with him, I'm sure. But the other thing is, honestly, 2020 in the political climate we're in, particularly in the United States, do you really want to do a Nation of Domination gimmick at this stage of the game? I don't know if that's too smart.
Yeah, I think that this is a very weary time to be playing this on out. Mark, it was you and Joe that were reviewing Raw this week. How did you guys take to the potential of this coming about?
Well, I have a different idea for this Nation of Domination. I think that that's a red herring, the thing with MVP and Lashley. I think what's going to happen here is he's going to form a Nation of Domination with the Viking Raiders. He's going to go back to his old Farouk gimmick where he puts the helmet on. The Nation of Domination. Hear me out. You're laughing, but I think this is very within the realm of possibility. He's going to put the old gladiator helmet on. He's going to team up with Vikings, and then they're going to grab Tozawa, who will start donning a samurai outfit. And they will be the Nation of Domination of, like, warriors through the ages.
All right.
Just for context, just so you know, apparently they were honestly thinking of using both Ron Simmons and Mark Henry was apparently backstage at the Raw taping as well, but they decided not to put him on air at all. So don't put them past them. I would see they would go in reverse rather than come up with something as clever as what you just said,
Mark. Well, if they do that, I think they got to get Nick Aldis into the picture as well as, what was he Magnus. That's it, Magnus. Joe. Thank you, Magnus. Joe, though, you know, looking at this situation, one of the things that I also thought was weird, not only are they looking back to the 90s for Nation of Domination, but Shelton Benjamin, who was basically discarded by MVP earlier in this scenario, is now all of a sudden being brought into the fold when he didn't care about him when he was wrestling Apollo Crews.
Yeah, that actually didn't make a ton of sense either. And then on top of the fact too that, like, look, Shelton Benjamin as a worker is great. Like, the dude's athletic. The guy's you can tell he can go, but you know, he's just never hit, you know, let's say whatever potential they had for him. So when he all of a sudden sort of came on board, it was like, okay, cool. Shelton's back. Great. You know, he's got a gig, but then at the same time, I was like, all right, whatever. And yeah, like coming back to your point, you know, that it was kind of like, oh, well, when did this, you know, change of pace come from MVP? You know what I mean?
On top of that, you throw, as Mouth mentioned, Ron Simmons / Farouk being more of a joke than anything now. And he's coming in this role. He would be perceived as the mouthpiece. I don't understand why a group led by MVP needs another mouthpiece, because if you look at the comparative between MVP and Farouk or Ron Simmons, Dave, MVP is the superior talker here.
Well, I guess okay. That is debatable because Farouk was one of my favorites when going through my 20s. I love his Dominator is untouchable. That the way that he would do that.
That doesn't matter for talking though.
No, I understand that. I understand that. And yes, MVP is better, but I don't think that Ron Simmons is going to play that big of a role. I think the only role that he played here was just to remind them, hey guys, remember where I came from. Remember what I did. This is that. We're all part of the same nation, you know, playing that card, but not actually playing that card. And it's reminding them that we're all in this together. And yeah, so give Shelton another chance. He's a worthy worker. I think that that's all he is. He's just reminding them where they're coming from.
Man, I see it as a complete danger zone. And I think that's kind of the sentiment there. All right, let's move along to someone else from the 90s that was around that still seems to be there, and that is The Big Show, who appeared, seems to be have been written off TV once again. Christian, also around in the 90s, returns in a vignette. Essentially, this is getting to Randy Orton destroying Big Show on Monday, and Randy Orton cruising towards what seems to be a collision course with Drew McIntyre. Orton is going to show off who his next target is tomorrow night on Raw. Do we think it's Drew McIntyre, and does he go right through Drew McIntyre's mouth, and do we have a crowning achievement of Orton as champion at SummerSlam?
Well, I was doing a little bit of searching before we started chatting, Jay, and I've heard that it was on the it's on the docket to do an I Quit match with Orton and Edge at WrestleMania next year. And that this might just be set up for that. And yes, maybe he does blow through Drew.
So if that's the case, then you have Orton and you have Edge and you have a title in the mix, which I think would add a whole new dynamic, Mark.
Yes. Yeah, that would be interesting for sure. I mean, it depends on when Edge is ready to come back, really, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, the next logical program, if Orton blows through McIntyre, as we all think, is Big E.
If Orton blows through McIntyre, it's Big E for his program, so he shifts brands?
Yeah, I think so. I think that Big E is going to come over. I mean, who else is Big E going to... I mean, I don't mean to get too far ahead of ourselves
That's
on
fine.
The Big E thing, because I know he was on SmackDown, but... I mean, who else are they planning for Big E with his singles run?
Well, I mean, we can jump there. Big E having that very strange vignette of he and Kofi Kingston, and Big E seems to be getting a singles push. Not sure where he heads to. Is it the IC title? Is it the heavyweight title? And does he stay on SmackDown? I'm guessing he does. Joe, what do you think?
I think you got to keep him on SmackDown right now just because they're kind of hurting for talent. That said, though, like I'm going to admit I'm not the biggest Big E fan. So, you know, I understand a lot of people want to see him get the push. But at the same time, I kind of think yawn. I really could care less about Big E, to be honest with you.
The thing with Big E sometimes, I think, is he's been so immersed in comedy as well, right? So it's very hard to kind of take him maybe as a singles guy. I have a bit of trouble with that. And I just think he's just been such an essential part of a tag team. I find it hard to envision him having any kind of major program as a singles. Like, I could see him just being fed to the champions and it's a program and he loses and that's it.
See, but where I'm coming from too, though, is like from a charisma perspective, I honestly think Xavier Woods is way more entertaining than Big E is. Same with Kofi Kingston. So that's why I don't understand the Big E thing.
There's a lot of people that really do enjoy Big E. Dave, where do you think his push goes?
Well, he's got to get into the main event picture, right? Because that's what it kind of felt like. It felt like they were setting him up to go against... well, who's the champ on SmackDown?
It's it's Braun Strowman, and he looks to be, I would guess, losing the title at SummerSlam to The Fiend. So then Big E versus The Fiend. You can't tell me that doesn't destroy a singles push.
Well, that's just anybody like against The Fiend. It's garbage. Like that show last week was just that. Yeah. Anyway, you guys went over that.
Okay, Mark.
suddenly my Big E versus Randy Orton doesn't sound so bad.
Okay. Hold on.
Let's do this.
If you remember back though, Mark, the interesting thing about separating Big E from this pack right now is I actually would have been more interested if Ron Simmons had showed up on SmackDown and told the New Day that there is a better way. And you utilized Ron Simmons to make the New Day turn heel and go with the original intention of the New Day, which seemed to be that quasi Nation of Domination group.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that would definitely pivot how we look at Big E. At the end of the day, though, his name is still Big E, right? Like, can you hear a ring announcer saying your new heavyweight champion, Big E, in any real kind of way?
I would have said that about Dolph Ziggler, too, though.
Yeah, and did they say that in any real way about Dolph Ziggler? You're just proving my point.
He did win that Money in the Bank that one year and have that amazing cash in the day after WrestleMania. I mean, I'm going a decade in the past, but it did happen.
It happened, but when I say it, I mean in a real way, you know, like in a way that like this guy was actually champion for a while and actually held the belt in a real, you know what I'm saying? When I say
I
in a
do.
Real,
I think this just proves the point that I think most of us don't see Big E in a main event position like that. I just see him as a good worker, but a comedy guy in a tag match. I don't see him as a singles guy.
I do find it funny that we've skipped over the fact that Drew McIntyre has just been pushed aside. I know, Mark, you jumped to Big E, but Drew McIntyre, who's really had the Rocket attached to him, unfortunately, in the midst of COVID, you're passing over McIntyre. You're just putting Orton back up there and into the title mix to move along with the program with Edge, which is completely looking backwards. And McIntyre, I actually feel bad for Drew McIntyre, Joe. Here's a guy who has finally been the chosen one, and it is the worst time possible, period.
I agree. Like, I've always been a big Drew McIntyre fan, and I really do hope, though, that if Orton does go to McIntyre for SummerSlam, that like Orton does not win. You know, like one of the things that that like I've heard Orton and even like say Big Show, for example, say on podcasts is that they want to help the younger guys. It's like, okay, if you want to help the younger guys, why are you wrestling Edge and Big Show? You know what I mean? Like, so if Orton is going to, in fact, go to Drew, I would hope that Drew goes over in that, not the other way around.
I don't know. They've just been so strong lately with the Legend Killer thing again. And it's just like, I can't.
Yeah. And Drew,
who is nowhere near being a legend yet, is going to be able to beat this guy in terms of this particular universe. And I honestly think, like Jay kind of mentioned, they're looking backwards again a lot. Mm-hmm. This, like, not just, and I don't think it's just because of COVID. I think they're stuck on this thing where they don't have a lot of faith in the young guys, and they're going back to like Edge and Randy Orton, and just kind of pushing things over and over again that we've seen decades ago.
Well, decades ago is where we would have started seeing Jeff Hardy. So let's pivot to this because we got to see just a delightful spectacle. And considering it was a bar fight that happened on SmackDown, I'll start with the bartender. Dave, in the cinematic matches that we've watched over and over and over again, they've run their course to me, but this was the finest in McMahon toilet humor.
Yeah, pretty much like legit.
Legit. There was a head in a urinal and a toilet involved.
It brought me back to high school because I was not the most liked person in high school. Anyway, Jeff Hardy's wet noodle punches in a bar fight just don't work. It's ridiculous. And I just this whole thing, I'm hoping that it's over. Do you think that it's over? Are we done with this now? Or does there have to be one more payoff match?
Oh, well, no. Now that we know that Sheamus has this thing for contact lenses and it just totally messes up. why would he mess with the guy again, man? Like, geez, that's creepy shit, man. I don't know. You know, it's so ridiculous, the whole thing. It's a waste of good booze, for one thing.
Amen to that.
You guys with McMahon, I mean, what do you expect? You put anything near a toilet, McMahon's going to want to see that. I'm surprised it was as little as it was. I expected him to shove his head in the toilet and come up with chocolate in his mouth. Like, that's Vince loves that stuff, you know. My only thing was at least it was a fight and it wasn't one of these psychological babble things that they do with Bray Wyatt where it's all just
right,
got to know the intricate history and this is that and this is that, and then the end you don't know if the guy's drowned in the swamp or not.
Yeah, like, but mouth, was it actually a fight? Because I thought Sheamus thought it was a fight and Jeff Hardy thought it was a wrestling match in a bar. Jeff Hardy was ridiculous.
True. That's true. You're right. He's not a brawler, right? He doesn't know how to brawl. He's a high-flying guy. So, of course, he's going to do leaps off the bar and that kind of stuff. Yeah. You know, I just, the thing with the contact lenses was the thing that got me. I'm just like, I hate that when someone's music plays and that's enough of a distraction. Here now, all we have to do is put contact lenses in. Boy, I hope Sheamus doesn't have to fight Rey Mysterio because he's done after he can't handle that.
No, well, yeah, Rey might not have eyeballs at this point, though, remember?
It's right. So true. It's like when Bray Wyatt does that yoga pose and everybody gets scared. It's like, just kick him in the face.
Yeah.
Easy as that.
Okay. Yeah.
Bartender Dave has clearly never seen The Ring.
That's right. That's right. All right. Before we go. Yeah, Mark.
Oh, sorry.
No, go
for it. I'll say that I, from the very beginning of SmackDown, the first line of SmackDown was, I'm Jeff Hardy and I'm an alcoholic. This barroom fight was already doomed. I mean,
no, like, the whole feud has been doomed. It's been horrendous.
But I couldn't, if I wasn't on here talking with you guys about this show, I really would have turned SmackDown off after the first line.
Having said that, I do like how they open the show now with those promos that are kind of like Saturday night's main event back in the day.
Right.
Sure, sure. But the writing of them is terrible.
Terrible. But at least stylistically, they work. Before we go, we do have to take a break. But before we get there, let's talk a little bit about the women's division. We left last week's Extreme Rules. Mouth and I hosted the live special, not knowing what was going to happen with this title thing where Bayley became a referee and crowned Sasha the champion. So Sasha's walking around with a belt, but is not a champ. Stephanie appears, says Sasha's not the champion, but neither is Asuka. I was done right there. That was ridiculous.
Was horrible, dude.
It was terrible. Sasha versus Asuka next week. At least we get that match. But man, they got a bad way of getting there.
Yeah, this was absolutely horrible. And of course, I love how Stephanie just appears on a screen. She can't even make an appearance. Like, even just walk down the ramp, say your piece, and get out of there. No, it's like, I'm not going anywhere near that.
I don't think she's there. I'm going to guess she's not there, Mouth.
Well, wherever it just looks bad to me, I think, for all the employees to be out there working in this situation, and then the boss just takes a powder and phones it in from home. I just thought that was kind of weak. And yeah, the whole angle is absolutely ridiculous. They should just give the title back to Asuka, and that should be the end of it. But I guess we get to see the match one more time. In this one, though, does Sasha end up with the title?
Yeah, that's a good question. All right, let's throw that to...
She has to. She has to end up with the title. I think, like, that's what I said originally.
Well, then what was the point? Then what was the point then of doing all the shenanigans? And, like,
exactly.
To me, with all the shenanigans, the babyface needs to get the win here and keep the title.
Exactly. I totally agree with you. And I think that they should have pushed Sasha over strong so that it makes this collective, or what do they call themselves, the golden role models, make them look that much stronger. The way that they did that, it just cheapened absolutely everything.
I'm going to argue that they don't put the title on Sasha. Instead, it remains on Asuka, and we're going to drive towards Asuka versus Shayna Baszler at SummerSlam, because Shayna Baszler is going to destroy Kairi Sane, and we're never, ever going to see Kairi Sane again after this week, since it is supposed to be her final week. Mark, what do you think happens? It was bizarre that Kairi did beat Bayley on this week's show.
Yeah, I'm just kind of bummed out that we're not going to get that Asuka versus Kairi Sane match. That's the match I was looking forward to, where the handshake match, two baby faces going against each other for the title, and Asuka obviously goes over and shakes her friend's hand at the end, and that's Kairi's goodbye. I'm more sad about that than anything else.
Yeah, it looks like she just might be saying goodbye. Well, we'll see some resolution of that on tomorrow night's show. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll get into AEW and what is happening there on Dynamite, which did very well in the ratings this week, and I think justifiably so. More of the Sunday Night Main Event Roundtable coming up next right here on TSN Radio. Thanks for listening to the free version of Sunday Night's Main Event. There's actually lots more of this, and you can get it commercial free, and you can get an extended version. But you just got to drop in and be a supporter on our Patreon. It's only $4 a month, and you get this show, plus you also get 4 other podcasts per week. So find us and go support at patreon.com/SNMEradio. Yep, patreon.com/SNMEradio. Because without you, this show doesn't exist. patreon.com/SNMEradio. We appreciate your support.